Last night, me and Savannah were watching Poor Things, right?
Okay.
That Emma Stone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Willem Dafoe, Mark Ruffalo movie mm-hmm. that came out, and it got Emma Stone her Oscar, and we heard it was a comedy. That's what they listed on Hulu, so we're like, fuck it, let's watch it. And holy fuck, I don't know what I expected. That movie's not what I expected.
No?
That movie is at least 50% uncensored Emma Stone fucking.
Oh.
Yeah, not at all what I expected. And on top of that, it's not even like, I hate to say it like this, fun, I guess, because it's a movie about a woman, you know, Emma Stone, who commits suicide while she's very pregnant. Her brain is dead, right?
Right.
Willem Dafoe is this Dr. Frankenstein type character who takes the infant whose brain is still alive, puts it into her body, and essentially, the infant is now the mother.
Right. Okay.
So it's like a life starting out. It's very much a Frankenstein type story, because it is the film's premise. I guess the whole story is this woman, this child. I don't even know what to call it. This life
this
that
person.
Starts as an adult.
You're right.
Like the film opens with her very 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 early toddler at best.
Mm-hmm.
Like she knows a few words. She's running around. She's being cruel, mean, hitting people. Just kind of all over the place. And it's her growth, because it's accelerated growth, because she's in a, you know, a woman's body. And it's just through to adulthood in the already adult body. And it's very weird, because they jump to sex very quickly. Like, she's a toddler, essentially, when she's fucking around and, like, playing with eggplants and shit. Like, it's uncomfortable. And me and Savannah were very high. Constantly going, what the fuck? That's just something I thought I'd mention. Because that movie is not at all what I expected.
Whereas Barbie...
And now, our feature presentation.
I'm hosting, right? I'm doing this one?
Yeah.
So, hey, welcome back to Road Trip Cinema. I'm here with...
John Rhodes.
And I'm just Ken. And we're going to be talking Barbie today. So the whole reason we're talking Barbie is because I won our little Oscar prediction bet, right?
Yes.
And we kind of threw around this idea back and forth of, like, trying to make each other suffer with these. But in the process of deciding, we watched the MonsterVerse films. And there's a few really rough movies there, and I came to the realization, I don't want to watch a bad movie just to get at you, because then I'm shooting myself in the foot. I don't want to have to watch a bad movie. I don't ever want movies to be bad.
Right, and we kind of actually independently came to this, because I had told you I already had mine picked, and then I ended up telling you I actually thought about it and came up with an entire list. And you're like, oh, I really got to think about this. So I want to ask you, first and foremost, I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
Why you chose Barbie specifically? Because here's my list, and I just want to put it out there. And I kind of went by decades, because I felt like this would be a fun way of kind of exposing you to films you haven't seen.
Right.
So for the 90s, I have The Crow, because that's hoping to jumpstart a retro.
Okay.
For the 80s, I have 3 O'Clock High, which you love Ferris Bueller, so I thought this would be a really fun, like, high school comedy to kind of expose you to.
Okay.
The 70s was the one I struggled with the most, and I actually have three. So, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, which I just think is an incredible film that needs to be discussed more. Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry, which Tarantino loves and is pretty fucking incredible for just what it actually is. And Two-Lane Blacktop, which both of those are kind of car movies and kind of just an encapsulation of the 70s.
Okay.
Great films. For the 60s, I have Easy Rider, again, an encapsulation of the 60s. And also Witchfinder General, because I recently watched that this year, or I think it was this year. Either way, shook me to my fucking core. 50s, Rebel Without a Cause. I mean, iconic. James Dean.
I do want to watch that at some point.
Yeah. And then 40s, The Thief of Baghdad. Like, these are iconic, incredible fucking films that have, like, most of them have shaped cinema.
Right.
So, again, why Barbie?
Okay, so I agree with the thought you had, which was I want to, not subject, I want to open your mind to movies I don't think you would normally see. So I was about to watch Barbie one day when I came to this realization where I thought, because I had no list, I was like, I just don't even know what I would do. So I was about to watch Barbie and I thought, you know, I really enjoy this movie. I really enjoy it. And I know this is a movie that you had no interest in.
Right.
Like, not that you thought it was going to be terrible or anything, but it's just nothing that would strike home for you, right?
Yeah, and that's nothing against, like, the general consensus of it being a feminist film.
Right.
Just the general concept of the film never struck me as something that I would find entertaining.
Right. So I thought, all right, this is my opportunity to essentially make you watch a movie that I really enjoy and I know is... Normally, we talk about how comedy is subjective and movies in themselves can be subjective.
Yes.
I have to say, this is objectively a good movie. There's no subjective to it being a good movie. Now, personal taste is something subjective completely. Right. But this movie hit over $1 billion in box office, which is insane for a non-franchise film to do, right?
Right.
It's... written by amazing writers and directors, both Greta Gerwig and her, she directed and wrote, along with her now husband, wrote Noah Baumbach. He does a lot more dramas.
Right.
He works with Adam Sandler here and there. He did that Marriage Story with Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson that came out a couple years ago that came to big acclaim, and they even got a Criterion Collection print of it, which is impressive because it's a Netflix movie. So that's another... It's a credit, essentially. It's just, this movie has incredible writers for Barbie. Like, everything about this movie is weirdly smart, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's... the humor itself... And I mentioned to you yesterday I wanted to talk about dumb fun, right?
That's what
we mentioned. A lot of what I'm hearing about, say, Godzilla... X Kong is that it's just dumb fun, enjoy it. And some people even saying, like, well, what's the opposite of dumb fun? Like, is there smart fun? And I think Barbie kind of is. Like, on its surface, it's its own comedy. It's silly. It's goofy, right? That works on its own level. But even its themes and jokes about its own themes, I find really funny. Like, the movie takes itself very seriously while also taking the entire idea of a Barbie not seriously.
Right.
A lot of it reminds me of that joke in Across the Spider-Verse that seemed to fly over the rest of the theater's head, where there's the black hole at the bottom and the spider-punk goes, it's a metaphor for capitalism. Like, I fucking lost it in the theater. And this movie is all of that to me. It's just that joke over and over. So, you watch Barbie for the first time. What did you think?
I hated it.
I kind of expected that.
We're basically going to be replaying Groundhog Day.
Okay.
You say it's comedy. I didn't laugh once.
No?
No, not once. I got a brief chuckle, like a... when Ryan Gosling slowly slid down the hood of his car. That was it. That was, like, it. My biggest takeaway, and I'm going to put that out right now, I think I need a fur coat.
Okay. I think Ryan Gosling is my favorite part of this movie, and I understand why he got his Oscar nom. It's surprising that Greta Gerwig didn't get an Oscar nom for directing this movie.
The direction I will 100% give it to, yeah.
Well, because, honestly, the set design of this movie, incredible.
Yep.
Like, Barbie Land feels like a place I can go visit.
Yeah, no.
And did you know, just a fun little trivia thing, the set design of Barbie... painting all of those sets pink, they caused a national shortage of pink paint. Like, an actual shortage in the paint industry for the color pink from the movie Barbie.
That's funny.
But Ken is this really endearing incel, essentially. Like, he is this fucking, like, little simp, I guess. but he's also an angry little weasel. But he's also very endearing because he has, I mean, they're toys. They're Barbies and Kens. That's the point, is they have these very shallow mentalities, but they're also, they have the mentalities of what they were made for. Because it's very clear with the Mattel corporate office and all that, that they are products with like designs and all this, and they have their own personality for each one. Like, there's President Barbies and Physicist Barbies.
Classic and, Barbie.
Yeah, Stereotype Barbie.
Stereotype, that's what it was, yeah.
And a Weird Barbie, obviously. Weird Barbie is a product of time and being played with too hard, which I thought Kate McKinnon is fucking hysterical as Weird Barbie. All of the weird stuff fucking had me laughing. Sugar Daddy Ken, the dog that shits. All of it, just, I remember seeing commercials for that dog, and I always kept thinking, like, does it eat its own shit pellets to shit them out? And it does.
Oh, God.
It's just this gross idea. But it's... it's a fun combo of the silly and the serious, where you have your moments where Barbie is sitting on a park bench and she's distraught because the real world isn't what she thought it was. It's this dark, scary place, but she's also looking around and finding the beauty of being real. Like, she sees the families having fun at the playground. She sees this couple arguing at a picnic in the park. She sees, like, kids playing with their parents. She sees this old lady on the park bench next to her and sees her beauty as a real person. And I even like the little interaction where she goes, "You're beautiful." And the old lady's not like, "The fuck are you talking about? You're gorgeous. You're Barbie." She's just like, "I know. Yeah, shit." And all that, Ken is out there learning about the patriarchy. And even that, he's being a fucking idiot. But all those scenes had me laughing, of, like, him talking to the business exec saying, like, "Oh, do you guys not do patriarchy?" He's like, "Oh, no, we do. We do. We just hide it better. Don't get me wrong. We do." To immediately trying to go play doctor, and the doctor is a woman, telling him he can't do all these things, and he just ignores her and keeps working, trying to go do an appendectomy. It just, all of the humor landed for me. And it's making me realize why we don't usually talk comedy on here, because comedy itself is so subjective.
Right.
Like, humor is the one thing that no one can agree on, because everybody finds different things funny and not funny. I find a lot of things can be really funny, whether they're dark or not. I don't know. So you didn't find it funny at all?
No, no. Like I said, I chuckled once. My wife laughed twice.
I was going to ask that, too. Did you watch with your wife?
Yeah, you asked me, why did you watch it so soon? It's because I was talking to my wife one night, and I was like, "Hey, do you want to watch a movie?" And I had been talking to her about how you chose Barbie, and I had to watch it and whatnot. And she just tossed out Barbie, and it was like, "All right."
Did she enjoy it?
No.
No? Really?
Yeah, because I knew this was going to come up, so I went out of my way and asked her. Before I said anything to her, I was just like, "Oh, all right, so what would you give this out of 5 stars? And she thought about it for a second and said 2.
Really?
So, yeah, and usually she doesn't do big critiques or anything, so her reasoning was, well, it really wasn't that good. And I was like, "Oh, okay."
Okay. See, now I want to know what about it. Like, this is a movie that's interesting to me, because I ended up liking this more than my wife did. We went and saw this in Oppenheimer the same day. She loved Oppenheimer. I was like, lukewarm one. I was like, "Yeah, all right, it's fine, whatever."
Mm-hmm.
I love Barbie, and she was like, "That was pretty good." And that was kind of it. So she was like warm on it, but I love this movie. I think it's so funny. I actually just rewatched it like last week. It's the third time I've watched it. I think Barbie is so funny, and I can even just put it on in pieces, like not worry about having to sit down and watch the whole thing all at once, because it just seems like a very segmented movie to me. It's, like I said, it's humor gets me, it's heart gets me. Like, when she has her sit down with who is the creator of Barbie earlier in the film and has the, like, "Hey, it's okay, don't worry, it's okay, like, you'll get through it." Like, all of their little sit downs where they have their heart to hearts get me.
Oh, I did chuckle twice, very briefly, when Will Ferrell said, "Oh, her ghost has an office on whatever floor." Yeah. I chuckled at that.
I was surprised how little Will Ferrell's in it, but he commands every scene he's in, because it's just absurd. Absurd,
yeah.
Man, CEO. I mean, obviously,
but it also
parody,
felt
but
out of place, because everything else is played much straighter in the real world, more realistic to convey the real world, and then you have something that could be in Barbie Land.
Yeah. I mean, it almost feels like the bridge between the worlds, like, they talk about Skipper. They had the issue with another doll coming to life back in the 90s.
The pregnant one?
No, that one's Midge.
Oh, Midge.
She's freaky. She scares Will Ferrell. Love it. But, no, Skipper, you see her for a brief moment at the Weird Barbie's house later in the film. But they talk about how in the 90s she came to the real world, went to Florida, and tried to babysit a lady's kids. And took them surfing. And it's just, that whole Barbie office is silly. And I really love it. Like, the Mattel office is just silly because they're almost this in-between, like, they're the difference between the real world and the Barbie world. They're real, but they're the silliness of the Barbie world. Does that make sense?
I guess. Now, you praised the writing on this, and I'm going to damn it. I think the writing's fucking terrible on this film.
I thought it's fucking perfect.
I think it's atrocious.
I got so mad when they announced that this movie was up for Best Adapted Screenplay, because to me, I was like, this is an original script. Like, this is all original. Can you adapt non-toy stories? Like, whole premise is an original premise. You're using an IP, but you're not adapting a story with that IP, right?
Right.
So this should have been original. I got mad because I love the writing so much, and I thought it deserved original screenplay.
See, and I got mad retroactively after seeing it, being like, this did not deserve even a nomination. It was like, this is fucking terrible writing.
Loved it. I normally am, like, pretty, like, on musical stuff.
Right.
I fucking love I'm Just Ken. That whole musical number.
Oh, see, that switched it from I don't really like it to I fucking hate this.
I thought that was so much fun. I remember watching that thinking, I wonder if Rhodes will like this, because it had a very 80s, like, hit to it.
Very the song 80s. Itself, I could get down with, but just breaking up a scene and just the way they do it, fuck it. I hate it.
I thought it was so much fun. I love the Kens and their different personalities, even though they all kind of boil down to one here and there.
See, Ryan Gosling's Ken was the only interesting character to me.
I really find him endearing. I appreciated that Barbie also kind of stood up for him, even when he was at his worst. She didn't want to destroy him. Like, they're all like, fuck him, take him down. Who cares what Ken thinks, all this and that. And Barbie's the only one to sit there and realize, after everything Ken said to her and yelled at her about, it doesn't feel good, does it? Like, Barbie's the only one that realized, like, oh, I've been awful to Ken. Like, Ken's been reaching out and trying to, you know, have this kind of relationship, and she's done nothing but kind of lead it on. I hate to say it like this, because she's not doing inherently leading him on. That's just kind of what the Barbie-Ken situation is,
right,
and that's the whole point of I'm Just Ken. Like, even the marketing says, like, Barbie is everything, and Ken is just Ken.
And he's just Ken, yeah.
Right, and that's the point of that character, and his, I mean, essentially it's trauma. His whole emotional damage is that, like, he doesn't know who he is, and he just keeps trying to make things happen, and they don't work, and he's getting angry and frustrated. And
that's why I want to damn this writing, because Ken's the most interesting character. He's clearly the most put-down character. And then, you know, Barbie gets this whole resolution as to who she is throughout this entire film, even though her whole goal is just perfection. Fuck her. And Ken's
stereotype Barbie, though. That's the point.
Ken's is, I'm Ken. Fuck you and your writing.
That's
terrible.
That's where it's brilliant, because he's no longer just Ken. It's Barbie and it's Ken.
No, that's like, fucking terrible.
No, it's to show, like, you can be you. You don't have to be something else.
Terrible.
No,
You do not spend an entire movie shitting on a character, and then their entire resolution is just him saying, I'm Ken.
No, because it's where he finally realizes, like, well, I'm not just Ken. I am Ken. Like, Ken, that's the point where it's the Barbie of Ken, where Ken can be anything. It just, it depends on how you play with it.
you can't say that because he's literally, well, I can't say literally, he's practically a fucking slave in Barbie land that nobody gives a fuck about. Even in the film, it's called out when they're just like, where do the Kens live? I don't know.
Yeah, because that's the joke. It's like,
I fucking hate it.
The IP of it is like, they're just Kens, but like,
this film's idea of feminism is fuck everything but feminism. I fucking hate this film.
No, that's where I really like it, because it highlights the issues of you know, a patriarchy, and with America Ferrera's whole, like, rant she goes on, her speech.
And that's the only thing that actually touches upon the issues, is they just talk about it. They never address any of the actual issues.
Oh, because to address it would be acknowledging it, and no studio's gonna acknowledge issues. But
then what's the point of even making this?
I love the Ken stuff. Ken is perfect. And like I said, Barbie is the only one that sits there and is like, I don't want to destroy Ken. So even when he runs away crying because they've lost, she goes down and has like a little heart-to-heart and like wants to hear what the issue is. And this is going to sound weird, I really likened it to the end of Civil War. You know, Captain America Civil War, where Black Panther sits down with,
Killmonger.
No. End of Civil War.
Oh, Civil War.
Who's the...
Taskmaster.
The German. Not German. I guess he's Sokovian now.
Oh, not Taskmaster.
What's his name? Purple Mask in the comics.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, that's gonna bother me. But he sits down with the villain of the movie who orchestrated this whole thing, and he wants to listen to what... like,
Zemo.
Baron Zemo.
Yeah.
He wants to sit down and listen to what the problem was. He's not attacking him. He doesn't even let him kill himself. He sits down and listens to the problem and acknowledges that his own issues were his hate, his need for revenge. And I felt like that's where this movie connected with that, where, you know, Barbie sits down and wants to hear what Ken's issues are, and she talks it out with him. Like, I know you said it's just talking, but that's the resolution, is sitting down and talking the issues out. That's all a lot of these real life problems need, is everybody to sit down and acknowledge the issues.
Yeah, but they talk about patriarchy, and that's even like the big fight. But the actual issues that they should have been tackling is everything that's just tossed out in her fucking speech. Or played like a stupid fucking joke when they're on the beach and Ken's like, oh, this is weird, I'm not getting any hostility. And Barbie says, the only thing I'm getting is hostility.
Oh, the undertone of violence? I thought that's so funny.
A, I didn't laugh, but I'm sitting there thinking, I was like, okay, do something with that. And they don't.
They do. She gets her ass grabbed and punches a guy, and she gets arrested.
She gets
catcalled by the
Yeah.
Workers.
But those are the things the film should have been about and tackling, and not toss away jokes.
Yeah, but you do that, and then you give all of these fucking idiots that shat on it when it came out the thing they were complaining. Like, all these people that sit there and fucking complain that this was like, oh, this is just over-the-top feminism, where I felt, if anything, this calls out the issues, and if you had an issue with this movie's core message, like, if you felt offended by this movie, maybe you're part of the problem.
I don't feel offended by it. I don't think it's actually addressing the issues correctly.
I can kind of understand that.
Yeah, I think it's skirting around it, and I think it's really poorly told, because the message it's kind of getting across, too, is fuck the guys, fuck Ken, fuck all of that, feminism. And it's like, feminism's important, but, you know, treating people equally is also important. We can't just be like, yeah, feminism, fuck you!
Well, that's Barbie's whole character arc. She has that mentality.
I don't think she has an arc, man.
I do. When she goes to the real world for the first time, and the little girl she thinks is the girl playing with her, the daughter character, it fucking destroys her, calling her a fascist, which is another fucking joke I love, where she's sitting on the bench after, weeping and crying, going, I don't control the commerce or trains. And I thought that was so fucking hysterical, because it's just, like, too serious to the point it's funny. Like, she took it too seriously, where the little girl just kind of ranted on, I don't want to say it like this, but she ranted on about very, very basic, like surface level issues, throwing them at you.
That's this movie.
I mean, I can agree that this is a studio movie. I don't this isn't like an indie film where the horror antagonist is a metaphor for
well, then again, rape or why whatever. Make it? If you can't actually do it, why do it?
I think it was very well done. I'm going to disagree with you there. Why do it? Because, it, I mean, the movie has a very clear message. Even though Barbie knows all the problems of the real world, she still wants to go there and experience it. It's almost like...
Oh, that was another thing I wanted to shit on.
I guess my takeaway was, as bad as it is, you can work towards fixing it. That's the point, is like, it can be fixed. We don't have to just give up. You can fix it. And that's what the characters do. Now, the only part I'll give you credence for that I felt was not addressing the problem was towards the end where, you know, the women take, the Barbies take back over and talk about the Supreme Court. And the Kens ask if they can have one Ken on the Supreme Court. And she laughs at him and says, no. And that's where I was like, okay, why? Why?
But that's
if
the
you're,
whole
you're making
that's...
this world where Kens can be Kens and Barbies are Barbies, and that's not stereotype, like, mold you have to fit. You're just those people now. Why can't we have a Ken on the Supreme Court?
Because that was this film's take on feminism is, as I've already pointed out, fuck everything else. And that was what I keep bitching about, and I'm glad you at least agree that...
I'll acknowledge, the film is not perfect by any means, but that is one point where I agree with you, where I'm like, I don't know if I like how that was handled there. I think a lot of the rest of the movie, because the whole movie very much is grain of salt, laugh it off to me. Like, it's all, this is all just a quick joke. Everything about it is a joke. Even when it gets serious at times, it becomes a joke.
Right. The other thing that I wanted to touch on, well, the last thing, is, like, when Barbie meets the ghost for the second time and has to make the choice and the whole realization that she wants to be human, we see these, I don't know if you want to call them flashbacks, or these images of people.
Yeah, like just random stock footage.
Right, yeah. But it's all mothers, and it's all children and stuff like that. And it was just like, wait, so, like, the whole takeaway is that she has to be a mom? And it's like, that's not my idea of feminism.
Was it? I saw a lot of, like, just people hanging out. Like, I saw a couple, like, I think the one I can think of in that stock footage montage that would agree with that was, like, a mom holding her kid up in the air.
There was a lot of that.
I only think of one. I mean, I just watched it, like, yesterday.
But that was, like, my takeaway, is I was watching that, and it's just like, this feels like uncomfortably pushing motherhood. And it's like, that's not the idea here.
Well, I'm not saying it did, but if it did, I could see that going along in line with the mother-daughter story. Like, I don't even want to call that a story, because it really ties in pretty heavily into the Barbie story. They don't really do their own things, but there's very clearly this divide in those two characters. Between, like, their relationship. Like, you see that in the flashbacks and what Barbie, their visions are getting. It's, she thinks the little girl is the one she has to be there for because she's all sad and depressing, but that's more of just a girl who's kind of starting to go through puberty and understand the world is a very scary, and honestly, it's a pretty shit place.
Right.
Like, all existence sucks, and this is a little girl who's finally realizing that. Not to say she won't come around, or she will. That's different for each person. But I guess, along with Poor Things, which I was talking about earlier at the start of this recording, my wife made a point to say it's really sad when the Emma Stone baby mom character goes through that dark period where she realizes the world's awful and how horrible things can be. And that's kind of where that little girl's stuck until she sees her mom standing up, having that rant, having this fight to try and re-inspire Barbie to be what Barbie should be, and kind of help take back Barbie World. And that's, like, the daughter's inspiration to join in and kind of, like, hey, maybe it's not all totally fucked. Maybe I can fix it. All right, so what would you rate Barbie?
As I said, I kind of hate this. And I think it handles a lot of things wrong. I would completely restructure it. I think that the mother-daughter should be the main thrust of the story.
I can see that.
I think Barbie should be a secondary character. We should spend much less time with Barbie Land. And I don't think Ken should be a character, because I think they completely mishandle that. But, to give it credit, I think the actors are fine. No one blew me away. I think the sets and all that were amazing. I like the premise of Barbie coming into the real world. Past that, I can't really give it credit. I think the writing's shit. I generally, even in this review, just got angry talking about it because I think it's so fucking poor. I give it 1 star, and that's simply because the production was good.
So I'm almost on a completely opposite spectrum here. I love it. I think it's phenomenal. The writing is amazing. The acting is, like, it's good enough. Ken is great. I think Ryan Gosling had a lot of fun as Ken.
I'm glad he didn't win the Oscar for this.
I think Danny deserved it more, but yeah. I mean, I loved him in this. I think the set design is fucking incredible. And for that reason, I wish we had more Barbie Land scenes, honestly. Like, I just want to go hang out in Barbie Land right now. Like, that'd be a fucking blast. I think the directing is phenomenal. I think Greta Gerwig definitely deserved a nom, at least, if not winning. I think all the technical aspects of this movie are incredible. Like, what they managed to pull off is incredible. I would give this movie 4 stars.
4? Holy shit.
Yep.
This is almost a complete repeat of Groundhog Day.
Yeah, like, reversed. So what is that? That was a 3 difference, a 1.5, so what is it, 2.5?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Terrible film.
Amazing film. All right, so next year we'll do this again with Oscar predictions.
Yeah, I might actually have to punish you since you did me this year. Jesus.
No, this is a great film. I'm glad I could share it with you.
You've arrived at your destination.